Talks and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House is denouncing a federal trade court ruling in New York that puts President Trump's global tariffs on hold. International trade expert Frank Lanvin.
This really diminishes the leverage he has, and I suspect that he will not be successful on appeal. He doesn't really have the legal authority to impose these tariffs.
That, experts say, is up to Congress. Doge chief Elon Musk says his budget-cutting days with the Trump administration are over. CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
A White House official said the offboarding process for Musk began Wednesday night.
$1 billion for a Bieber.
It lathers beautifully.
28-year-old model and influencer Hailey Bieber says she sold her skincare line Rode to Elf Cosmetics for 1 billion big ones. Her husband Justin toasted his wife's success by posting PDA-filled pictures of the couple on social media. The deal is expected to close later this year. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Road construction will start as soon as June 2nd on another section of Wisconsin Highway 29 in Marathon County. Governor Evers signed a $10.1 million contract to improve the deteriorating road. The work has been progressing in recent seasons, with sections being worked on at intervals. This year, American Asphalt of Wisconsin crews will be working between Purple Martin Lane and Little Rib River. The 12-mile section begins before Marathon City and extends into Wausau. During construction, Highway 29 will be open to one lane of traffic in each direction at all times. The project is scheduled to be completed by the fall of this year. Home sales in Wisconsin are down again. Here's Joanne Krulatz.
The Wisconsin Realtors Association released its April report revealing home sales experienced a significant downturn for the second consecutive month, falling 10.4% compared to April 2024, even as the median price climbed during the same period. Despite this monthly decline, year-to-date sales were down by a more moderate 3.5% compared to the first 4 months of 2024, buoyed by strong sales in January and February. Statewide, housing inventory saw a slight improvement, increasing 5.9% to a 3.6-month supply in April, yet this figure remains considerably below the 6-month supply indicative of a balanced market, which would necessitate a 67% increase in current listings.
You can come support the Stevens Point Police Department K-9 program this weekend at the second annual Car Cruise with the Cops Car Show. It's this Saturday on the corner of Main Street and Michigan Avenue in the P.J. Jacobs parking lot. The car show starts at 10 and the cruise begins at 3. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game weekend series against the Phillies tomorrow night. The crew beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings yesterday. It was Milwaukee's first 3-game sweep of the year. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a great feeling to feel like you sense that they believe, and that's a great feeling. Our pitching hung in there and did enough.
NFL at the Packers OTA practices. Defensive back Jaire Alexander remains absent while the team tries to renegotiate his contract. Safety Xavier McKinney asked if he'd like to see Jaire back with the Pack.
We would all like him back. I talk to him every day. Just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. At the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation is going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, bro, I just want what's best for you.
That's Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a shower this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun and a nice day with a high of 73. Partly cloudy tonight with lows near 50. On Friday, a warmer day with highs near 80, a bit breezy as well, with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Right now, 53 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Donald Trump says no tax on tips. Sounds like a good deal? It's not. I discuss with Chef Greg Leon next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here back up north on this Thursday morning, May 29th, a very short three-day work week for yours truly after Memorial Day on Monday, and I will be off tomorrow for a grandson graduating high school. Doesn't feel real to me either, but Todd Albo will be here pinch hitting tomorrow. Coming up yet this hour, we'll talk to Jeremy Gragert from Citizen Action, who brings along another guest to talk about Medicaid cuts and the real life impact on real Wisconsin families if the Trump budget were to go through as passed by the U.S. House. Now, it still has to get through the U.S. Senate, where folks like Ron Johnson said yesterday at a Milwaukee Press Club event that he would not support the bill in its current form. But it appears that Ron Johnson then, either before or after the Milwaukee Press Club event, went and spoke to the student body and medical staff and doctors at the Medical College of Wisconsin. At least, I haven't seen a news story on it, but I've seen some messages on the text line from Matt in Germantown, and I'm seeing some chatter on Reddit as well, including a link of a recording of the Ron Johnson visit. And so we're going to talk more about how he was not really given a break by the audience, who actually laughed at him a couple of times, talking about his mistrust of doctors and still pushing ivermectin, horse dewormer, as a cure for COVID. So that's among the topics we'll get into. But first off, we've got to get to a forecast, which is going to be just glorious for the weekend. So with Parker Olson standing by in Madison, Greg Bach at Radio Park, let's go to meteorologist Brittany Merlot for more about that forecast. It is a cloudy, cool one up here this morning so far, Brittany.
Yes, it sure is. Temperatures across the state right now ranging from about 45 degrees in Ashland to 55 degrees all across the Fox Valley. Mostly cloudy for most of us across the state, even some spots near the state line far south. You're looking at foggy conditions, even some mist. Some spotty sprinkles are still occasional into the central areas of the state. And there's spots of sunshine far north into Hayward, Superior area. And what we're looking at today is spots of sunshine, still clouds hanging out there, and of course, more chances for rain. Some scattered showers and storms could spark up later on this afternoon, probably from about 2 o'clock to about 6 or so. We have those chances. Highs today will get a little bit more mild, upper 60s far south to mid 70s far north. But we're also looking at some patchy wildfire smoke starting to make its way into the area tonight, especially far north. We're going to see those winds start to get a little feisty. Tomorrow, they're going to be breezy around 30 miles per hour as that wildfire smoke starts to move in here a little bit. A little bit warmer tomorrow, low to mid 70s. A cold front does sag through the state, which could spark up some more showers and storms midday. Then as we go into the weekend, much drier conditions and warmer too. Saturday is a little crisper, mid 60s to mid 70s. But as we go into Sunday, we're going to be into the upper 70s, hitting the mid 80s into next week.
Isn't that just thinking about how you said it was going to be crisper? And crisp is one of those where it can either mean like cool and crisp out, or it can be like bacon that you've cooked a little too long. And you're definitely thinking it's going to be the latter. We're going to be like crispy bacon by the end of this hot spell coming up.
Yeah, we are. Summer is really going to surge in here. I mean, the humidity is going to be into the mid 60s with dew points by the weekend. So we're going to start to feel muggy and sticky. Mm-hmm. And then next week, it's going to be pretty oppressive and gross out there.
Oppressive and gross.
Can you, for Monday's forecast, just make it all food related? Like,
yes,
it's going to be oppressive and gross, like a hot steamer making rice, you know, like, I don't know. I'm better at hot buttons. I'm sorry. I'm better at hot buttons. Okay.
I just mentioned bacon, and like everything's better with bacon. So,
But Brittany is that mind of, she could do it.
Oh, yeah. Totally improv queen. Yes.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. The way you sprinkle the word flirting with.
Yes.
Into the forecast. I've never heard that before. And it makes the weather so much nicer to listen to about.
It is.
Oh, thank you.
We do.
You said sprinkled, and it made me think of that joke where it's every time a meteorologist says sprinkles are in the forecast, there's a guy holding a donut outside of a window. Like,
oh, that's funny.
That's a new joke to us.
That's funny. I like that.
Weather humor. It's the best. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you a little
You're
later.
Welcome.
All right. What a win for the Brewers yesterday afternoon. Once again, a walk-off win in the 10th inning, sweeping all three games from the Boston Red Sox. And the Brewers now have a four-game winning streak going after that 6-5 final. Caleb Durbin had a sac fly in the 10th inning that allowed a speedy Sal Frelick to beat the throw home. So that is now the Brewers' second four-game winning streak of the season. And because of it, the Brewers are back at 500, 28 wins, 28 losses, third place in the NL Central, 6.5 games back of the Cubs. The Brewers are off today. They are traveling to Philadelphia for the weekend. They're going to have their work cut out for them. The Phillies have the second-best record in baseball right now and have won 9 of their last 10 games. But you can catch that series between the Brewers and the Phillies on several Civic Media radio stations, including Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. If you follow the NBA playoffs, the Minnesota Timberwolves were eliminated yesterday by the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right, so this next discussion about Ron Johnson at the Medical College of Wisconsin was prompted first off by Matt from Germantown on the text line, who also said he would be willing to call in and talk about it. So, you know, Matt, if you're still willing to, you know the number here, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to start with this thread on Reddit and look at Matt's comments as well. But somebody posts there, just want to say how proud I am of the Medical College of Wisconsin student body and medical staff and doctors in attendance at this Q&A with Ron Johnson answering live questions from medical students and professionals. Very surprised he actually agreed to do this in person. For not giving him a break regarding his stance on the COVID vaccine being dangerous, his support for funding cuts, and his rhetoric claiming we shouldn't trust doctors. This person says that he's been laughed at en masse multiple times and is stumbling over his answers and provides a link to the recording. And as I was looking through some of the comments, it included one that particularly got a laugh out of the crowd. He told a room of medical professionals, quote, "Personally, for me and a lot of people I know, we no longer trust doctors." He said that to a group of medical students, doctors, and staff. So Matt mentioned as well that he said that the lead crisis is best handled at the local level and doesn't think the federal government should help. Which I guess that same logic carries over into natural disasters, because you're at a point where something overwhelms a local area, a tornado, a hurricane, an earthquake, a city full of lead paint or lead pipes, which again is not just a problem in Milwaukee. It's in communities throughout the state. It's just Milwaukee's the biggest city, so you hear more about it there. But again, saying, well, everybody pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and there should be, everybody should have to fix themselves locally. You know what Florida would still look like right now after Hurricane Andrew, which was, what, 30 years ago, if that was the case? Or any other place for that matter. The whole notion of this country coming together with its pooled resources and helping one another in a time of need is as American as it gets, of helping out our neighbor when their house burns down and not saying, oh, tough for you, you know, hope things get better. Matt from Germantown goes on to say, Ron Johnson argued no one trusts medical people anymore, saying that it's their fault, not his, and that we should all work with Robert Kennedy Jr. rather than ridiculing him in order to restore trust in our medical system. He also, according to Matt's text, says this line, quote, I've never heard of a poor person creating jobs. Wow. I've never heard of a poor person creating jobs. Apparently, Steve Jobs, no pun intended, was already a billionaire when he created Apple. And every other thing you want to list that created gobs of jobs started with somebody who apparently was not one of the poors, Mr. Bach.
I'm not poor. I will never claim to be poor, and I feel lucky for that because being poor is a heavy implication. But mm-hmm. I am a business owner. And I have created jobs. I'm not rich. I'm not super rich. I'm not a millionaire at all. And while I don't have to worry about my bills on a day-to-day basis, I'm not Ron Johnson wealthy. And his statement is both stupid and wrong.
Well, it's just repugnant on so many levels. And it's somewhat ironic, given that he was not so much born into money as married into it. Mm. And a family business that he did not start. I'm not going to take any credit away from him for anything he might have done to help it grow, but don't again give us this line of baloney that no jobs have been created by poor people. It's just ridiculous on its face. And then, of course, he went on to once again criticize the medical community for, again, not embracing horse dewormer ivermectin as a cure for COVID. Earlier, Ron Johnson told a Milwaukee Press Club event, I should say earlier or later, I'm not sure which part of the day he did these in, he did not rule out running for a fourth term. He said he was simply a guy from Oshkosh trying to save the country. I would remind people that the whole reason he ran for this third term, even though he promised he was only going to serve two terms, was he had to take care of a particular constituency. Do you remember, Greg, what that was?
The COVID, the vaccinated injured.
Yes.
The vaccine injured.
The vaccine injured. yes, Parker.
This went over my head. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, you missed that originally?
I missed that originally.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, this was a morning event at the Medical College of Wisconsin where he said this and then wound him up to go tell the Milwaukee Press Club later on that he does not enjoy being a senator, he said, but he also said never say never when it comes to the prospect of a fourth term. Again, he wouldn't have won the third term had it not been for billionaires putting tens of millions of dollars into wildly racist ads about Mandela Barnes. That is the only reason he won. Those billionaires dragged his carcass across the finish line. This is a guy who has never been above 50% approval. He's always been underwater in terms of public approval. And yet he's won each of his three elections by, you know, criticizing the other people, those people, you people, enough that he's able to stay in office, pretend to be holier than thou, and have the audacity to go talk to a group of medical professionals, lecture them, and say nobody trusts them. Says one of the foremost conspiracy theorists, not just in the Senate, but in the country. And I don't doubt that someday the tinfoil hat will be given a name in honor of Ron Johnson. It'll be called the Johnson tinfoil hat or something like that for what he's doing. But there's the story based on a couple of different folks, Matt on the text line and from another thread online about what Ron Johnson had to say in Milwaukee yesterday. Now he'll head back home to Florida. We'll pause here and thank you very much for joining us on this Thursday, as we do all these weekday mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
At Tri-City Services, we're so proud to be celebrating 80 years of trusted service to Central Wisconsin. Since 1945, Tri-City has been the name you can trust to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We're offering a limited-time anniversary special. When you purchase a new air conditioner, you'll get $19.45 off a new furnace. Call 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com to schedule your free quote.
We're not comfortable until you are.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, all. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. And right now, we're being joined by UW Extension's Tony Johnson, a new name to us around here, not a new company. We certainly are an organization. We work with UW every week. Love our friends over there. Appreciate Tony joining us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to be on the program and share a little bit about what we've got coming up with the Extension Forestry Program.
Yeah, you guys have some really cool events going on. We're going to get into that, wrap up letting you guys know how you can connect with the Forestry Department and everything. But Tony, before we do that and get into some of those things, I always like to put people on the spot. I mean, ask questions. I'm kidding, but we love to get to know our guests. And your first time with us here, wanted to get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, sure. So maybe I'll just kind of go in reverse chronological order. So again, I'm a extension educator with UW-Madison. I do statewide forestry outreach, and my home office is at the Horicon Marsh Visitor Center down in Horicon, Wisconsin. So I've been working with extension for about 5 years in the forestry program and now the forestry and wildlife program, and doing a bunch of different private lands outreach. So I run the maple syrup program for extension. I've been doing a lot more agroforestry work lately, thinking about ways to incorporate trees into farming systems, and then a lot of work with private landowners and woodland owners around the state of Wisconsin. Prior to joining UW Extension about 5 years ago, I had a couple of different roles with the federal government doing conservation and ecological restoration. I worked with the USDA and the Army Corps of Engineers and the National Park Service all over the country doing different types of conservation projects and really trying to get that on-the-ground experience. Before starting with the federal government, I was doing my studies. I got an undergraduate here in Wisconsin at UW-Milwaukee and a master's degree in natural resources from Cornell University. And while I was out at Cornell, I really dived into the extension side of things. So with the idea of taking the resources and expertise that can be found on campuses all throughout the country and helping to bring them to the folks around, you know, in our case here, all throughout the state of Wisconsin. So I've been, like I said, with Extension for about 5 years and really kind of fell in love with the idea of what Extension does and helping landowners and addressing problems that the citizens of the state have. And I grew up right here in Wisconsin in Sheboygan County, and it got to, you know, benefit from a lot of natural resources and outdoor opportunities we have here. And after studying botany as a undergraduate, again, I really just fell in love with the idea of using that science and education to really make a difference around the state. And yeah, that's a little bit of a background of, you know, kind of how I got here. And so I've got you know, a bit of on-the-ground experience, particularly here in Wisconsin. And now I'm really focused on trying to connect landowners with resources and educational materials to help people achieve their goals for their land.
Tony, as we're getting to know each other here, I should warn you, as the audience well knows, you bring up maple syrup, and that's all that's going to be on my mind through the whole entire conversation. I'm just going to be thinking about that. And you also mentioned your roots there a little bit. You mentioned one of my favorite things to say, Sheboygan. I love saying the area of Sheboygan to town, everything. Any chance I get to mention Sheboygan, I'm going to say it because it's my favorite town to say. It's the easiest, the most fun, entitled name to say of a town. But more so, wow, man, you have accomplished a lot. We are lucky to have you, not only on the show here, of course, but at UW. That's fantastic. Well done. And all of that said, I really do appreciate the breakdown of all that, especially with what we're talking about today. And it only makes more sense to be talking with you about this. UW Extension has some forestry events coming up over the next couple of months. And I believe it kicks off with the Forestry for Birds webinar, right, Tony?
Yep. Yeah, that's right. We've got a pretty busy calendar of events this summer. So I work on a team of educators that are all throughout the state. We've got, you know, five or six folks working on different aspects of forestry outreach. And we also do a lot of partnering with, like I mentioned before, some of our campus-based specialists at UW-Madison. But then for this Forestry for the Birds event, we're partnering with some professors at UW-Stevens Point, both in the Wisconsin Center for Wildlife and the Wisconsin Forestry Center right there in Stevens Point, to put on these Forestry for the Bird webinars that I'm really excited about. So just to give you a little bit of rundown on that event before diving into some of the other things we've got going on, this Forestry for the Birds event, the idea of it is to make that connection between forest management. So that could be thinning a timber stand or doing some invasive species removal or you know, some of these other practices that are common in forestry plans, and kind of trying to build the connection between those management actions and the impact on wildlife, specifically birds. So what we've got coming up this summer in partnership with, I mentioned, the Wisconsin Center for Wildlife and the Wisconsin Forestry Center, Jason Riddell, who's the director of the Wildlife Center, and then Professor Mike Demchek, who is with the Wisconsin Forestry Center, have been working on a grant over the last several years, a federal grant to put some of these management practices on the ground and then do some research around the impact on bird species. So they've been working for a couple of years doing working with students and actually doing the on-the-ground forest management. So thinning out stands and taking out dead trees and trying to get some of these management practices on the ground and then actually doing the research and training around the impact on birds. And what we're doing is we're partnering with them to showcase these demonstration sites and bring landowners in to see some of the impacts of management. So we put together a little series that's going to be running in June. It's going to kick off on June 6th with a webinar that's going to be free and open to the public. We're going to record that webinar and then share it out after the events on our YouTube channel, which I'll talk a little bit more about later. But basically, that's going to be setting the table for these three field days that we've got coming up in June. So in that webinar, we're going to be talking about some basics of forestry, some basics of bird habitat, and kind of the connections between those two topics. And then we're going to be talking specifically about the three different demonstration sites that we've got. So I'm really excited to showcase these demonstration sites because, like I said, they've been getting a lot of work on them from these technical experts.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
So spring planting is quickly drawing to a close. Now our attention focuses in on controlling insects and weeds. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And judging by some of the insect reports that we're seeing from across Wisconsin, pesticide applications have to come into play very, very quickly. Jordan Campa, interim manager of the Pesticide Applicator Training Program through UW-Madison's Division of Extension, says priority number one when you're handling those chemicals, be careful.
I know that farmers are out there traveling around with pesticides in their vehicles. And so in trainings, we do like to talk about how to transport pesticides and making sure that people are not putting the pesticide containers with active ingredient in the cab with them, keeping those pesticides away from them. But then also thinking through, if you're going to be out applying a product and you're not going to be close to running water, have a jug of water with you in case you get something spilt on you so that you have the capacity to clean yourself off right away so that it's not festering and you're not going to have to go out and seek medical attention.
Jordan Campa, the interim manager of the Pesticide Applicator Training Program in Wisconsin. By the way, if you're curious about insect activity right now around the state, excellent video up at BadgerCropNetwork.com showing how healthy the cutworm and armyworm populations are, specifically in Rock and Green County. Markets are next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Mmm, pancakes, potatoes, sausage, eggs, oh my. Come hungry to the Marquette County June Dairy Breakfast on Sunday, June 8th at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield. In addition to breakfast, enjoy live music, farm tours, a petting zoo, and kid games. You can also try your luck at bingo. Breakfast and activities start at 7 a.m. at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield on June 8th. For full event details, see our event on Facebook.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese gained 3 to 195. AA butter was up a half a cent, 252 and a half per pound. This morning, we've got December corn down a penny at 443. November beans are up 4 at 1041. July wheat's unchanged. Currently, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, down a penny, 1934 a hundredweight. That's a quick snapshot on farm markets on a Thursday morning. I am Pam Yankee.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a shower this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun and a nice day with a high of 73. Partly cloudy tonight with the lows near 50. On Friday, a warmer day with highs near 80. A bit breezy as well, with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Right now, 53 degrees.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, several judges ruling against the Trump administration. Jim Santel will be here to break that down. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot and sports in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
We've talked about what's coming up on Matinair on Air here at 9 o'clock right after this show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I need to tell you what else is happening across the network later on. Todd Alba, later on today from 2 to 4, coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, he will have as a special guest Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And then on the Maggie Dawn Show, coming up at 4 o'clock, Chef Greg Leon on the no taxes on tips provision in the Trump tax bill, and why that really doesn't help nearly as many people as you might think. Also, Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee will be along as well, and Dr. Yoshiko Herrera from UW-Madison, a professor of political science, will join Maggie Dawn. Then on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, starting at 6 during the 7 o'clock hour, author Laura Enright will be the guest. Learn more about all of this, all of the shows, all of the stations, and much more. Head over to civicmedia.us, where you can also listen back to past episodes of all of our shows, including this one. Let's turn to the prospect of those Medicaid and SNAP benefit cuts coming in the Trump plan that, again, every Wisconsin House Republican voted for, including Derek Van Orden from the 3rd District in Western and Central Wisconsin, who weeks earlier had this strong reaction when told about how the Republican tax bill would be kicking all kinds of people off their benefits or threatening them. Here's what he said.
I want to clear the air, and I'm going to dispel some things. If you're receiving benefits from the federal government lawfully as an American citizen, your benefits are not going to be reduced by a nickel. Okay, I'm going to say it again. If you're an American citizen that is lawfully receiving benefits from the federal government, your benefits will not be reduced by a nickel. Write that down. Okay. I was raised in abject rural poverty by a single mother. We're on welfare, food stamps, where you had a stamp, stick it on a card, going to the grocery store. I had subsidized lunches and government cheese. I was the hungry child that my colleagues are talking about. Okay. Things have changed. And the same people that told you during the last budgetary cycle that Republicans are going to cut Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, WIC, SNAP, they lied to you. They lied openly to the American public. They're the same people that lied to you and are fear-mongering with hungry children and those most in need in our country. And it's unacceptable and it's despicable. This should be a nonpartisan committee. They're lying. I'm over it. Stop it.
That would be Derek Van Orden again. And he said many times since then, since the bill is passed, that anybody who claims their benefits are cut are liars. Well, since that time, obviously, there's a line that's been forming of people who would like to remind you who's the one telling the fib in this case. There's also a new ad campaign coming out from Protect Our Jobs to talk about how the Trump tax plan bill that Van Orden supported is also going to repeal clean energy investments that are going to kill something close to 2,000 jobs in his district. There's a lot to discuss here with real people who are going to feel real pain if this budget plan that Van Orden and Trump support were to pass as is. Jeremy Granger from Citizen Action joins us now, along with Sarah Ring. Jeremy, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Pat. Yeah, doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Now, and Sarah, where are you? Are you in Eau Claire? Where are you?
Hi, Pat. Thanks. I'm in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Okay. And in Eau Claire, Wisconsin is where Congressman Van Orden has an office. It is staffed by Brian Westrate, former chair of the Eau Claire County Republican Party, and is now an official on the taxpayer paid side of staffing that office. And there have been plenty of folks and groups that have wanted to speak with the congressman or the congressman's staff and express their concerns about what would happen if this bill were to pass as is. Jeremy, can you tell us a bit more about your most recent visit and interaction with the congressman's office?
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Yeah, we, you know, I live in Eau Claire as well, and I, you know, I served 6 years on the city council here up until a year ago, and so very, you know, concerned for my community and for, you know, folks across, you know, Wisconsin, and in my role as the Northwestern organizer for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. And, you know, we've held, you know, we've been trying to engage with, you know, Representative Van Orden, and we even did a, our own town hall about Medicaid specifically a couple months ago. We had a lot of folks sharing their stories there. So we wanted to, you know, we set up a meeting with his staff last week in the Eau Claire office. And it's really, you know, it's right in downtown Eau Claire, so anyone can, you know, drop by, at least try to talk to Brian Westrate or the other staff there. And it's, you know, we want to make sure, we were hoping to catch him before the vote, but it ended up being the day after. It was this last Friday. And, you know, Brian Westrate knew nothing about what had just passed. And that seems to be kind of the theme in that office, is they just want to be, quote unquote, a sponge for what people have to say and don't really know anything about what's going on in Washington. And hopefully they pass it along to Representative Van Orden. But, you know, under the bill that, you know, Representative Van Orden was the deciding vote for, the budget reconciliation bill that, you know, is now going to the Senate, that is really one of the biggest, well, I think it is the biggest redistribution of wealth, you know, proposed in American history, that really is about cutting taxes for the wealthy. And cutting Medicaid as the main way of doing that. And, you know, about 13.3 million people would lose Medicaid, according to the Congressional Budget Office, including 11,000 in Representative Van Orden's district. So we wanted to be there right away the day after the vote to, you know, say, hey, you said you weren't going to, you promised that you weren't going to be cutting our, you know, Medicaid for folks. And he was yet the deciding vote on that, yes. 215-214. So we wanted to make sure that we were there to, you know, with folks that would be impacted, including Sarah, who's with us. And you know, it's extremely disappointing, but, you know, the Senate will be taking this up and then maybe changing it. And if that's the case, it would go back to the House, and we expect him to change his vote to a no vote.
You would think. Sarah, you were there you wanted to share your story. Do you mind sharing it with our listeners of the ways that Medicaid through Badger Care and other SNAP or whatever other benefits might impact you from this bill? What did you want to say to the congressman's office?
Yeah, thanks, Pat. So as Jeremy said, I shared my story with the Van Orden staffer about how, despite what Van Orden is saying publicly, these are cuts to Medicaid and the program, and will impact people like my sister, Carrie, who is dependent on Medicaid. So if I could I brought the little printout. This is what I shared at the meeting. And just to give some context, this is my sister, Carrie. She's standing here with her parents, our parents, my father, who is a disabled Vietnam veteran, and our mother, who has been a caregiver for my sister for the last 44 years of her life, and to my other siblings as well.
And so, it appears she's in a wheelchair here, right?
She's in a wheelchair. Okay. So she's been since birth. She was born shortly after birth, she suffered brain damage from multiple infections. So she's permanently developmentally disabled, intellectually disabled, will be that way her whole life. Medicaid is a lifesaver for my sister and our family because we can keep her in her home and in her community because of the program IRIS. And that is a Medicaid-funded program through Wisconsin that allows us to hire and pay care workers we trust to come into my parents' home and give my sister Carrie the personal care that she needs and the supportive care that she needs. I don't know if you could tell from the photo, but my parents are aging. They are in their upper 70s. They can't physically handle my sister and transfers. And, you know, it's hard for people to imagine, I think, sometimes the level of care that is needed for someone like my sister. So I usually say to people, imagine if you're caring for, you know, a 12-month-old infant or a baby. All the things you do for that baby, we do many of the same things for my sister. And what I would like to say is, you know, we have lots of issues already with the system. We are overstressed already. And the things in this bill, the provisions in this bill, and the cuts that will result to Medicaid are going to impact my sister and thousands in Wisconsin like her who are disabled. For example, the caregiver shortage has left us in our family. All of our siblings are filling in the care for my sister. It's a really precarious situation right now with, you know, if one of us gets sick in the family, my parents don't have care for my sister. The end result would be, you know, if one of us cannot step in, one of the family members cannot step in, she would go to an institution like a nursing home where we know her care would degrade, her well-being would degrade. And we know because we have tried it over the years. We've tried many different situations, and that's what happens. She doesn't get that one-on-one care that she needs. So this bill, you know, I can talk more specifically about parts of the bill and why it makes it harder for people like my sister in Wisconsin and what cuts would do. But essentially, for our family, it would likely mean Carrie going to an institution. Not to sound
And in doing so, not the bill goes a step further that not only either cutting services or if there are not direct cuts, there are so many new reporting requirements, a.k.a. red tape, that people would lose their benefits. But the bill goes on to force states to eliminate their own services for disabled adults, older adults, and children. There are some folks that say, well, it's not a cut because it would be, you know, we're just giving it back to the states, and the states would have that power, but the states don't have that kind of financing. And the states would also be prohibited, for example, from any new, you know, taxes on healthcare providers, for example, to finance their share of Medicaid finance costs. Jeremy, in the short time here before the break, Sarah obviously wanted to tell her story. She got to tell it here. What is it that you hope folks hearing this will do now that the bill is over in the Senate?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Senator Ron Johnson is going to be a deciding vote potentially in the U.S. Senate. And Senator Tammy Baldwin has been very much against this. So getting calls into Senator Ron Johnson's office and also really doubling down on any U.S. House representatives would be big because this is very likely to come back to them. I think one of the big things that I think will touch everybody in Wisconsin is that, you know, if this were to pass, about $400 million less would be coming into the state of Wisconsin to Medicaid and coming to our, you know, hospitals and clinics and nursing homes. So like, and we've had hospital closures here in the Chippewa Valley.
Oh, we know that so well. And that's exactly what these cuts would do. It is impossible, as Van Orden would say, to make all these cuts where it would only impact people who are, say, undocumented immigrants. It's just not possible. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a recent report from Georgia, we told you about voters contesting a mass voter eligibility challenge by election group True the Vote. In another 11th Circuit courtroom that same week, a group of black voters challenged the voting districts for Metro Atlanta. The Georgia Recorder reports that a judge ruled in 2021 that after the 2020 U.S. Census, the Georgia legislature failed to account for the growth of black voters in Metro Atlanta and needed to include additional majority-minority congressional, state house, and state senate districts. The current suit before a three-judge appeals panel contends that the court-ordered maps drawn by the legislature in 2023 may not have met the judge's requirements and instead kept the status quo. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger's brief contends that the Voting Rights Act Section 2 should no longer be in use. He argues that the plaintiffs must prove that the motivation for the maps was racial discrimination, not legal under the federal VRA, and not for partisan political reasons, which the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled is inherently a state issue. Anti-voter arguments citing the Equal Protection Clause and it was political, not racial gerrymandering, are increasing in an effort to neutralize VRA protections for minority voters. Expect an opinion in the case in the coming months. We have more on the long history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
When it comes to this first webinar that we're talking about here, Tony, there's a couple of things that really stand out to me. And for a long time, working with UW Extension, Rachel Whitehair and some other natural resource educators we've been fortunate to get to know and talk about, we've really been able to, I think, dive more into some of these topics. Prescribed fire, invasive plant control, some of these different topics. One of the things that I found interesting, and I'll tell you right out the gate, Tony, I'm a city boy. A lot of this stuff is very new to me, but it's all fascinating and interesting. And I know how much our audience appreciates it. One of the things I've heard from the audience and more people talking about is the different types of people that would really benefit and enjoy this kind of webinar. There are certainly, as you mentioned, landowners in that. There's a lot of people out there that I think just are always interested and curious about the balance of nature and man and how we work with, business and nature and some of these, the world that we're in nowadays with a lot of that. And it feels like you guys get into those topics as well as plenty of other things with this webinar.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a great opportunity to showcase the impact of management. I think it's, commonly thought amongst, some folks that hands-off is the best strategy for managing some of these wild spaces, including woodlands, but that's not always the case. And this webinar and this series dives really concretely into, you know, thinking about goals, and if goals, your goals for your land include increasing, you know, certain types of birds, then there are things that you can do to have an impact on the habitats of those birds. So I would say, yeah, the workshops, or I'm sorry, the site tours and the webinars are really geared towards landowners and folks that, you know, have the ability to do these practices on their land, but it's open to anybody, and you can take some of these lessons back to, you know, even a smaller city lot size, you know, plot to think about ways that you can impact habitat and how that will impact the birds or other species that are potentially using that habitat.
The Forestry for Birds webinar is June 6th. It'll be going from 3 to 4:15. Be sure to register, and we'll again give you the website and the information of how to do that before we wrap up. We're speaking with Tony Johnson from UW Extension. Tony, I know you guys have some other summer events coming up as well.
Yeah, we do. Like I mentioned, we've got a team of educators all around the state kind of focused on different topical areas, and we got some really exciting programs that are coming up this summer. So first up, actually this weekend, we've got a women's chainsaw safety workshop, which is a course that's specifically designed to bring women into an environment that is conducive to you know, their learning styles and interests in chainsaw safety and operation. And it's a workshop series that we've been running at different locations throughout the state. I'm not sure if registration is full on that one. If you go to our website, woodlandinfo.org, and just look up our current events, you'll see the link to that there. But we will be continuing to offer women's chainsaw safety certifications in the future as well. So we just tend to do those at agricultural research stations, and one this upcoming weekend is down in Lancaster. A little bit later on this summer, we've got a series called Learn About Your Land, which is more of a classroom style learning environment where we have a series of classes on different topics for landowners. In June, we've got a series in Chippewa County. So three consecutive Tuesday nights in June, we're going to be coming together and covering specific topics in connection with DNR foresters. We also are offering a number of other Learn About Your Land series throughout this year. So in Grant, Crawford, and La Crosse counties, we'll be there in August. Shawano, Door, and Kewaunee counties will be there in October. And that's kind of our introductory series to help landowners and Wisconsinites get familiar with some of the forestry concepts and management opportunities that you'll have. Another really exciting event that we've got coming up this summer is in July. We've been running a series of webinars the last several years to try to connect new landowners with resources, whether that's extension, county, state government, nonprofit organizations, and just try to bring all of those programs, people, and resources into one room, and then invite new landowners to come and network and make the connections that make sense to them. So we, like I said, we've been running a series of webinars the last several years, and this summer I'm really excited. We're going to be organizing our first field day that's going to be in that same networking style. We'll have a bunch of natural resource and agricultural professionals coming out to the Sauk County Farm on July 19th, and we're going to be having a field day that's going to be really focused on landowners interested in getting started with stewardship and showcasing some of those resources that are available. So those are a couple of the upcoming classes just in the next couple of months, but we also have, as I mentioned, a couple other programs, including the maple syrup program. So really excited to connect with Wisconsin maple syrup producers of all scales, whether it's hobbyist or commercial operations, and would just encourage folks to check out our maple website, maple.extension.wis.edu. And we're going to be continuing to do maple outreach over the next year, and can be looking for input on what that outreach could look like in the next couple of months. So I really encourage folks to just check out some of our maple programming, and the best way to do that is on the website. Also want to plug the Wisconsin Coverts project. So coverts is an old English word for like a covey or a brush pile where birds could live. Mm-hmm. And we've got a really, really cool program in Wisconsin called the Coverts Program. It's put on with Extension in partnership with the Ruffed Grouse Society, and it's an immersive weekend, full weekend program at Kemp Natural Resource Station in northern Wisconsin. That's really diving into forests and bird habitat, and it's a totally free program sponsored by Ruffed Grouse and Extension. and just requires an application and then some expectations around sharing what you learn with neighbors after the fact. So if you're interested at all in wildlife and woodland management and you own some land in Wisconsin, I would encourage you to just Google Coverts Project, so C-O-V-E-R-T-S. And the application for that is due on June 15th. So that's another really great opportunity for landowners from Extension.
It's going to be a fun, busy summer for you guys at Extension.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A federal trade court has put President Trump's global tariffs on hold, ruling they're illegal. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger on The Bigger Picture.
Officials at the Fed are worried that this uncertainty around tariffs could lead to a rise in inflation, in the inflation rate, and also slow down the economy.
The president's Doge chief, Elon Musk, is leaving his job at the White House. Comes a day after he acknowledged to CBS News he had issues with the president's budget bill.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it can be both.
Beyonce fulfilled a fan's request for a gender reveal at a stop near New York City. The crowd at MetLife Stadium cheered after she smiled at that fan and confirmed it's a boy. Beyonce sang in the rain for most of the show. She has four more performances there. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mix.